The following is a sponsored program. High Desert Broadcasting is not responsible for the views or claims expressed in this program.
Good morning and welcome. Services, where our corporate vision is providing financial peace of mind. And our radio extension here every Saturday is no deviation from that same vision to help you have financial peace of mind. Now, my goal and my challenge every Saturday morning is to balance between being serious and having some fun. Just at what point on a Saturday morning is too early to be serious? So please keep in mind that I'm keeping you in mind. Try not to keep it too deep, too serious. However, don't want to waste your time either. So this week is no different in coming to you with the news, with various subjects that can help you today in your finances and having financial peace of mind. But first, my wife calls this weather affectionately pneumonia weather. Have you noticed? I mean, it's fall, but some days feel like it's winter. Maybe it's summer again. When it's pneumonia weather, we wake up and it's in the 40s. And you know what I'm talking about. Got to watch the pipes. Start watching the pipes so they don't bust. And then it can get into the 80s and 90s during the day, and then you're sweating and you're hot and everything. So here's the advice from my wife. This is good stuff here. Dress in layers. I know it's an epiphany. So if you are one to wear a tank top, guys, then wear your tank top under a sweater. It's cold in the morning. Later on, it gets warm. Take the sweater off. At least you've got a shirt on, right? Or a tank top. And there you go. You can prevent getting pneumonia. Was at Disneyland yesterday. And my wife wanted to take a break. Give her brain a break, she said, because she's pretty involved in Facebook and online discussions. Pretty much politically right now, so she wanted to take a break. And how many of you think that she actually took a break from that kind of action? Those of you who said no, you're right. I think it was a 65-minute wait in one of the rides that they had altered for Halloween. And was it worth the 65-minute wait? No. But what do you do when you've got 65 minutes on your hands? You take out your little handheld device and you jump in the conversation again. So, no, she didn't take a break. And she was also giving health advice to some folks, anyone who would listen on how to prevent getting sick and getting the cold and the nasty bug that's going around. But I can't disclose all of her secrets to you. You'll have to tune in to either Facebook or Twitter. Let's see, on Twitter, we're Financial Compass with one S. And for those of you who just can't wait for Saturday to get here so you can get your conservative money fix, or you can just visit us at timrosen.tv. Anytime, any day, any hour, you can't sleep, and it's midnight, yeah, go to timrosen.tv, and then there are plenty of the video versions of Conservative Money Talk. However, but they're in just little 2 to 7 minute clips. And I'm telling you what, I'm going to get Troy in the studio. We're going to film the video variation of Conservative Money Talk, put that up on timrosen.tv. So for those of you who miss it or aren't as manly as you listeners right now, except if you're girls, to get up on a Saturday morning to improve your financial peace of mind, then you can go to the computer and go to www.timrosen.tv. Well, folks, there is plenty to talk about, plenty of things to call your congressmen and senators about. I'm just going to kind of take a break from that this morning. How many of you, I mean, have you called your congressman before? Have you called your senators out here? Of course, we have George Runner, a great advocate here of the Antelope Valley, of our freedoms in this country and our rights. And I believe there is going to be a Tea Party, a peaceful, all-American, everyone's invited Tea Party tomorrow afternoon, 1 to 5 p.m., I believe. We have some headline speakers that are just incredible. I say we. I mean, I'll not be speaking. I'll be attending. But actor or actress Victoria Jackson will be there as well. And, man, I just don't have that location in Palmdale. Lane's the last name. This isn't an official announcement. This is just me sharing with you. So plenty of things to really be aware of. You know, sometimes, believe it or not, our elected officials like to sneak things in and piggyback them into some other bills, like this health care bill. So before I get into it, let me let you know that you can go to Open Congress, one altogether, opencongress.org, and you can read these bills before they go to vote. You can also go to Sean Hannity's Heritage Foundation, I believe that's heritagefoundation.org or heritage.org, and find out what is really in these bills and such. And, of course, our government, folks, is supposed to be a government of the people, for the people, by the people. So be a voice. Call your congressmen, call your senators with your concerns. But I'm deviating from that just a little bit this morning. I want you to think about a person who has either been an economic angel, I'm going to call it an economic angel, has been a help to either you or another family that you know of. And maybe this person or family, just maybe anonymously, you happen to know that they anonymously brought groceries to a family in need, or maybe you know someone who helped someone who lost a job get another job. Or just somehow, since we're talking about the economy and the subject is money, just went above and beyond on their own initiative to be a help or a blessing to someone. I'm going to ask you later on in our time together today to call in and nominate this person or family. And we're going to take these nominations, and Troy and I and a neutral third party will vote. And the grand prize winner, who is nominated as the economic angel, will win dinner for two at the Outback Steakhouse. So we want to, in turn, be a help and a blessing to them. And we'll give it till next Saturday, too. So we'll take your nominations today and your nominations next Saturday. So do stay tuned for that. We'll ask you to call in and provide their name and number and such. We'll get them on the radio, the grand prize winner. Hear their story. So we wanted to hear from you on air what their story is, what they did just to be a help. Because, you know, folks, we, you know, you're getting the sense that, you know, we really need to help each other now. I think a lot of us have had to regroup. Many folks have had to regroup and rethink their direction, both career-wise and financially speaking, where maybe just a year ago or 2 years ago, you can go where you want to go and buy what you want to buy. And maybe that still applies to some people. But I know, as Americans in general across the board, we're starting to save a lot more. And that is a good thing. It's sad that we've kind of been forced to. It would have been nice if we've been doing it throughout the years. However, failure is not making a mistake or just failing. Failing is making a mistake or failing and not learning from it. So I think we're learning from some of our habits in the past, and that is a good thing. Also later in the hour, a message that I have been teaching and preaching for nearly 8 years, warning people about, I have been vindicated. This message has made the cover of a very well-known, very famous national news magazine. And you'll need to stay tuned to hear the details of that. Now, just because it's on the cover of a magazine doesn't finally reconfirm what I've been teaching and preaching thousands of attendees over the last few years. It's true regardless of whether it hits the cover of a magazine, but it just shows that, okay, someone's getting it now, and then someone's going to be warning the masses beyond the reach of my voice, and that's a good thing. So stay tuned for that. When we get back from the break, I will gladly let you know which magazine it is. It's still on the stands today. And they've taken 7 pages to describe the story and that I've been warning folks about again for 8 years. Stay tuned. You are listening to Conservative Money Talk. I'm Tim Rosen, registered investment advisor at Financial Compass, inviting you to join me every Saturday morning as we pursue financial peace of mind. Tune in Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. and join me on Conservative Money Talk, providing practical conservative money tips each week. Conservative Money Talk brought to you by Marcus Bowler Construction and Inspector Catchett Home Inspection. We catch the problems while everyone else is still looking around.
Share our specials with you?
Sure.
First, we have the seafood special. It's actually been sitting around here for a week. Then there's the cream of chicken soup. It's had no refrigeration since it was made yesterday. We're known around these parts for our food poisoning. What can I get you?
Yeah, don't think we can stay for lunch.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in Saturday morning here to Conservative Money Talk, and we can be reached and viewed at www.timrosen.tv. Please visit that site. There are great, short, educational, yet entertaining video clips to help you have financial peace of mind. Also, a few blogs there. You're welcome to join the conversation and ask questions, add comments and such. So this is Conservative Money Talk. And at this time, I'm going to talk about an aspect of mortgages that I've not heard discussed yet. I've not heard it on other radio stations, on the TV, magazines, or what have you. But I think it should be brought up so that you and I can prepare for the future. It goes without saying that there are an unprecedented number of good folks that have lost their homes here in just the last couple of years. No other point in history, until you go back to 1929 and the Great Depression, since then, there's been no other time where across the nation, across this country, so many families have lost their homes. Now, without pointing fingers, because those fingers can point in many directions. One aspect I'm looking at here is, what about a few years from now, if the dust does settle? What does it mean? What will returning to norm look like? What I'm talking about here is, many folks that have had credit scores in the 700s, 800s, and I know these folks. But due to whatever it is, it could be it was a bad loan, interest only, or because of the recession and companies closing their doors and layoffs and folks getting their hours cut, they find themselves in unfamiliar territories, being laid off, obviously can't make their house payment. Well, anyone who loses a home, there is a huge mark on your credit. It's a foreclosure. But you're not alone. It's not just you. I mean, it's happening nationwide. Now, before this fiasco, it really started, well, if you're going to be technical, and it started decades ago in the Carter administration, the fair housing credit lending, what was this, in the 70s, where pretty much the government stepped in and said, okay, mortgage companies, you need to extend credit to this neighborhood over here and to this sector here who I know they have bad credit and I know they do not have a steady job, but we need to make it fair. Mm-hmm. Well, that's built up over the decades. But let me get back to the point. Let's fast forward 4-5 years from now. Now, these folks who have lost their home, they're back up on their feet, Lord willing. They've got a steady job. Maybe they even have a car payment. That's good on the credit. And there are buying opportunities there in real estate, and so they go to buy a house again. And keep in mind, this will be hundreds of thousands of people, not just one or two individuals. They go to buy their next house. On the credit, they're going to see a huge mark. Ooh. We see a $300,000 charge off here, a foreclosure. How do you get over that? Again, just a couple of years ago, there was a window of time where that was forgiven. And you loan officers that are listening can correct me, but my recall of that was, I believe there's 2 years. 2 years pass after a foreclosure, and if you have other stronger credit items, such as a history of making a car payment, it's not so much the credit cards, then there was some leniency, some forgiveness, and okay, we can get you a house. But there's so many factors in the mortgage problem right now. It's not just the mortgage companies, it's our government, it's the economy. And it's just making a nasty stew for everybody. So what happens? The banks aren't so quick to lend even now. Sure, if you're a first-time home buyer, you're wet behind the ears, so to speak. You have good credit and a steady income. And it's certainly a buyer's market. Yeah, those folks, they're getting homes. But what about 4 or 5 years from now when we're trying to return to normalcy and we all go to get, you know, so many hundreds of thousands of folks try to get a house again? I believe that there's going to have to be some type of forgiveness there because it's so across the board. I envision a scenario similar to this. A family sits down, they have a house picked out, they sit down with their mortgage person, and of course the first thing is to run the credit. They look at the credit score like, you lost a house, huh? Oh, wait, yeah, that was 2009. Oh, yeah, that was a terrible time. Oh, yeah, I remember. Okay, well, you qualify for such and such plan. I think it's going to be such a mark on our history, we will remember vividly 2008, 2009, all of the foreclosures, and we're not out of the woods yet. But how's that forgiveness going to work? How can we get beyond that mark of losing a home in order to get another home? Will it take government intervention? I hope not. I would like to see private enterprise step up. You know what I mean? capitalism and companies, hard money lending, not the government printing up billions of dollars. You know, anytime you have the government's hands in it, you know, we're not always going to get a good outcome from it. I mean, if we look at it right now, the government is owning and controlling a huge segment of the auto industry. They're attempting to do it in the health industry. They've already done it with the banks. And a government-run country is a government-ruined country. So the fewer times that we can put our hand out and say, okay, big government, I need you to take care of this, the stronger we will be as a nation. The more we stick our hand out, the weaker we will be. So I would love to see, and folks, it has happened before, I would like to see companies, corporations, business owners, entrepreneurs coming together, pooling investment dollars to help folks that have lost their homes during this season, however long this season may be, and help with those loans, of course, backed by the real estate, so real estate would have to come back. But look at other cases in history to show that this works. My family recently visited the Hoover Dam. Well, the government fronted the money for that. Back in the 30s, it was about $46 million, which was a lot of money back then. $46 million, maybe today's equivalent would be something like $179 million. Just a huge amount. However, there's no debt owed. The state and the power generated by that dam has paid back any government loan. Actually, it was part of the, they called it a Reclamation Act back then. It was to stimulate the economy, similar to what we're seeing now. In the Great Depression, created many, many jobs. And that money came from a Reclamation Act from the government. However, the electricity generated from that dam has paid back every dime. Now they're profitable. Now the electricity running and generated from that dam makes it a self-sustaining unit, and it does not cost the taxpayers anything to run that Hoover Dam. That's just one example. You've got the Chicago fire. You've got the San Francisco earthquake. Okay, corporate America stepped in for the solutions. We didn't hold our hand out. And I'm thinking here in recent history of certain travesties where the hand was held out. And not only was the hand held out, but if the government didn't come running fast enough, there was whining and complaining. Does that sound familiar? Could it be down south? New Orleans? That's what I'm thinking about. So how are we going to fix this? You know what? I can call some of my loan officer friends, and I don't believe they have the answer yet. We don't know how it's going to play out, so why do I bring it up? It's a Saturday morning. You guys have great plans for the day. Why should I rain on anyone's parade? Well, it ties into what I've always been talking about, and that is to prepare. We have to live for today. But it is valuable and very important to plan for tomorrow. We don't know how everything's going to play out outside of and beyond holding our hand out to the government. We've got to be financially sound. We need to save. Do what you can to repair your credit. But I'm sure in most cases, folks listening and such, the first thing to do is to secure your income. It's one of the first steps. And sometimes that does involve maybe getting some career coaching or looking to get into another field that isn't suffering right now. But I am optimistic. I am hopeful, cautiously hopeful. Not any blue and red poster type of hope, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Yeah, not that. But this is a country that God has blessed in the past, and it's certainly a country that's turning its back on God, trying to get God out of everything. Well, we can't succeed in that. Recently, the city council had a meeting on prayer and pot. So there's your two P's. Okay. It's going to go to vote with the voters. But how do I deviate from that? It's because I've got hope. And with that hope has to come action. We've got to be financially sound ourselves, as I've said before. So that is taking the discipline and the initiative yourself to look at your financial picture to see leaks in the bucket. Okay, where do we have money leaking out? How can I be more financially healthy in this household to prepare for whatever the future holds? If it's going to be harder to get a home, and it is now, banks have really tightened the belts. I mean, commercial loans are almost non-existent. I talked to a professional in my office just a couple of days ago, and it doesn't seem that banks, I mean, they've got the money, they got the bailout money, they printed it up. That's the sound of printing presses. Printing up those dollar bills, handing them out. The banks have it. They're not letting it go to commercial loans. Maybe first-time home buyers, as I've said. But if it's tougher to get a loan now, how is it going to be easier? I don't know if it is going to be easier. Do you? I mean, they've got the bailout money. I don't know. Maybe they will be forced and strong-armed again to extend loans regardless. I hope that it is not a turn towards the government saying, big government, please help me. Again, they already have ownership in many large industries. And it makes me think of these plans that we've talked about, these loan modification, these government programs of making houses affordable. Last year it was called Hope for Homeowners. Now, here's what I want to encourage you, those of you that are looking into these plans. If you're looking into these plans, please look at the paperwork, look at the small print. Or have a trusted advisor look at it. Because here's what I'm thinking. I could be wrong. Someone can call and let me know that I'm wrong. It's okay. I'm a big boy. If you're going to get something from the government, they're going to want something back. And I hope that there are no souls being sold to the government. Here's what I mean. If you've got a $350,000 loan that's going to be modified through a government program, and they're going to say, okay, presto, you now only owe $180,000. And you say, yeah, joy, 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 joy. Is there small print? Is there something? There was in Hope for Homeowners last year. Is there something in there that says, yeah, but we have an ownership in your home, we the government. In last year's initial program, they could and would, if you got approved, if it actually worked, reduce your mortgage to 10% under today's value. So you would instantly have 10% equity. Equity? What's that? I haven't seen equity in a long time. Yeah, you would have 10% equity. And that is, quote unquote, catch this, shared equity with the government. So that ideally, as we get into the future and your house increases in value, you split the equity with the government 50-50. You could not sell your home for a number of years. If you did, they get it all. So there is some quid pro quos there with the government. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about this national magazine and my message of the past 8 years after this. You're listening to Conservative Money Talk.
News Talk 1380. CNN Radio, I'm John Lisk. Swine flu vaccine makers are a bit behind where they thought they would be right now.
The production estimates are going to be lower by the end of this month, but there'll be more vaccine coming out regularly.
CDC's Dr. Ann Schuchat says they'd hoped about 40 million doses of the vaccine would be available by the end of October. Schuchat also says 86 children have died of swine flu so far. Pakistan targets a terror hub in the northwestern part of the country. 28,000 army troops are involved in an offensive against the Taliban and al-Qaeda. More than a dozen militants and at least four soldiers reported killed in the offensive. President Obama attacks the health care insurance industry in his weekly address. The president says the industry is buying and running what he calls deceptive and dishonest ads. Republicans answer the president on health care. Texas Congressman Kevin Brady says a public option for reform would drive costs up and limit the choices Americans have. This is CNN Radio.
Good morning and welcome back. Don't want to put you to sleep with that peaceful guitar music. You are listening to Conservative Money Talk. Talk. From the East Coast. Conservative Money Talk. Oh, we were in line eating in Disneyland last night. You have no choice but to eat there. I mean, you try to get your money's worth. So you're going to be there a number of hours. You're going to get hungry and you're going to pay a lot of money to eat. And so my daughter chose pasta. It reminded me of my relatives on the East Coast who affectionately refer to it as, anybody know, pasta. Hey, let's go have some pasta. So anyways, my daughter had some pasta. But on an economic note, let me say that we are season pass holders at Disney. And in the past 12 months have been there probably at least 8 times. So our cost per visit, $15. So yes, that is the financial savvy way to do it. Get your money's worth. Parking is already included in the pass, so it really only costs the price of gas to go down. But it, while there, I noticed something else. Actually, my wife noticed it and shared this with me. Why is it at places so profitable as Disney, they've got these fountains, and even the rides while you're waiting have little bodies of water, little man-made ponds or what have you. And it's not enough that you paid $100 to get in and probably another $100 in food, but then we're going to throw quarters into a fountain? Now, I don't want to step on the dreams and hopes of a little girl out there who's making a wish, but look, you're in Disneyland, you're already in the magical place, the happiest place on earth as they market it. Don't give them any more money. I mean, unless you see a little sign that says, hey, this is going to Make-A-Wish Foundation. Now, I've not Googled this, folks, so don't anybody send me any hate emails like, oh, you're being mean, don't talk about Disney that way. There are places that have special fountains, and there's a little sign that says, all of the proceeds in this fountain will go to this charity or that charity. I just didn't notice anything like that in Disneyland. Now, I may look at their homepage and do some digging, and maybe they do scrape it all up and give it to some charity, but I saw no signs posted. So save your quarters. Quarters make dollars. Feed the pig, as the ad council says. So there you go. There's my little Disney economic lesson there. Season pass, if you're going to do it, the more times you go, the lower your price per visit. There you go. Before the break, I was talking about another aspect of the whole mortgage situation, and that is, how are we going to buy homes after this big mess? I believe that there's got to be some kind of way where banks and loan officers will look back on this spot in our nation's history and say, oh, yeah, 2008, 2009, yeah, the mortgage crisis. Okay, well, we'll just expunge that. But again, it is my hope and my desire that capitalism, regardless of Michael Moore's movie, don't get me started there, we will dedicate another Saturday to that. It is capitalism that has allowed him to make money off these films and getting $9 to $12 from you in the theater. Just something to think about. might not want to bite the hand that feeds you, I guess is all I'm saying. But free enterprise does work. Look around everything that you use and depend on a daily basis. A great mind has created it. Not out of benevolence, not out of goodwill, but for a profit. And profit is okay. You try to break that system, then we got communism. Yeah, doesn't work. Here's a brief rundown in history as to the government's ownership of economic capital. During the feudal monarchies, 80% of the economic capital was under the control of the king. This is the big man theory. In modern Europe now, 47% of the gross national product is under control of the government. Prior to the bailout, in the United States, 33% of the gross national product was under control of the United States government. As of just June, the estimated stimulus post-bailout is 40% now in the United States of our gross national product under control of the U.S. government. I hope the tide turns. I don't know if it will, but a lot of it is up to us and those that we elect and how we think. If we think fear, then we're going to stick our hands out, and that's going to be more government control, less choices for you and I. More government, less choices. All right, I'll get off my soapbox here for just a second. Hey, in the top of the hour, I asked you to think about a person or a family that really has gone above and beyond on their own will and their own initiative. They've just been a help or a blessing to you or a family in need. A lot of people have had job displacements, pink slips, losing their house or what have you. And we want to recognize some economic angels out there. So we'll turn the phone lines on here in just a moment. Write this number down. If you'd like to call in, nominate someone or some family, we'd like to hear it's their first name, then off the air we'll get the rest of the information. And we want to hear from you the story. What did you observe them doing or hear that they did? And right here local in Palmdale, the number to be on the radio with us. And again, if you're going to call in, only call in for this reason right now. We want to acknowledge some local heroes, if you will. 266-4420. 266-4420. Don't be shy. A lot of you have thought, well, I've never been on the radio. Don't be shy. Just call and share with us. We'd like to hear who you have noticed has really gone out of the way to be a help and a blessing to someone. 266-4420. We'd like to hear from you. And now, what is this message that I've been teaching for 8 years to thousands of people that has finally hit the cover of a national magazine? I'll tell you what that is. If you've listened to our show at least 3 times, you've heard me give valid warnings about 401ks. Now, some of you just think I'm mean and so bent and I'm just flat out against 401ks. There are things about the 401ks that I am against, and rightfully so. But first, the cover of the magazine. This week on Newsstands Now, Time Magazine. Now, I normally don't financially support Time Warner, but I did buy this magazine. Dated October 19th, so it should still be there. Time Magazine shows big numbers, 401k, halfway sunk into the ocean with this caption, why it's time to retire the 401k and what you can do instead. And it spells out probably 60 or 70% of the concerns that I have been teaching and making people aware. And of course, I go a bit further. And then it shows some alternatives. But I'd encourage you to go out and get this magazine. They take 7 pages. 7 pages to warn you about the downsides of the 401ks, but we have to take a break, and we will be back right after a word from our sponsors. Are you a small business owner and would like to add value to your employees and at the same time get a great tax deduction? Then perhaps you should consider a simple IRA. As the title insinuates, it is simple to set up without the fees and without the difficulties of a 401k. Call the offices of Financial Compass at 273-3400 for a complimentary consultation on simple IRAs. Financial Compass, 273-3400. Got some happy music this Saturday morning. Not too cold, in the upper 60s. Nothing that a cup of coffee or tea or hot chocolate won't cure. We're talking about 401ks and what to be cautious about. Now, you've got some advocates of 401ks out there, and that's wonderful, but let's look briefly at the origins of the 401k, how it came on, and what some of the dangers are. All right, so first of all, prior to 1981, employers were offering a defined benefit, meaning in an effort to retain loyal employees and to keep you, they would give you an incentive that if you work so many years with us, based on your average earnings, we will pay you a monthly retirement check the rest of your lives. Nice. So ideally, you could work 25 or 30 years for a company, and depending on how sweet the deal was and whether it was a government job or not, let's say that you were working towards a $2,000 a month retirement. That was called a defined benefit plan. You knew what you were working for. And then in 1981, those started going to the wayside. Why is it? Because it was a huge financial burden for the company. The company had to set their own dollars aside. They had to make sure that it was managed and invested properly so that they had the money to buy pretty much an income annuity for you at retirement. What'd they replace that with? Well, now over 60%, pushing 70% of private sector employers do not offer a retirement. Instead, they offer you the 401k. What does that mean, they offer you the 401k? Actually, what they do is they open the door for you to invest in the stock market through the process of payroll contributions. So they make it easy. But what perception are they painting? Here you have money coming out of your paycheck in a company 401k plan. Do you think that there's just a glimpse, just a hint of perceived safety because you're in the company plan? How many people do you think out there believe that there's some level of safety? There's got to be some kind of safety net because, after all, this is the company 401k. Zero, folks. They're just opening the door for you to invest in the stock market.
Oh, yeah, Tim, you talk like the stock market's a bad thing.
I'm not talking like the stock market is a bad thing, but if you look at the change from if you work so many years, you will get this. And now it's, and it has been, there you go. Put some money in the stock market. Oh, and by the way, as an incentive, we really want you on board with this. We'll match you 50 cents on the dollar or dollar for dollar up to the first 6,000 that you put in. Okay, so the free money sounds appealing. But now what has fallen into your lap? Many risks, besides the obvious, you have the stock market risk. I'll get more into that in a moment. But a big risk you have is income risk. We went from working towards a certain brass ring with the price tag on it. $18,000, $2,000 a month. Some cases, $3,000 a month. That's what I was working towards. What are you working towards now? Hoping for the best, the biggest pot of gold I can accumulate. Yeah. So tell me, 20 years from now, how much will you have in this plan? Oh, the glossy brochure says if you do this, if you put in $1,000 a month, and if you get 8% a year, you will have or could have this much. Yeah, how's that going? When you get to the end of your rainbow and you're about to cross the threshold into retirement, how will you translate whatever sum of money you have in your 401k into a monthly dollar amount? I have the answer, but do you? That's one of the problems. It's hard to know what you're shooting for. And so many of you with good intentions, you discipline yourself and you set aside those dollars every paycheck. You sacrifice, you take home less because you're doing your due diligence and setting aside for the future. Well, we have to know what the cautions are. You're in the market without a guide. If I were to sit down with you and four friends and we were to play Monopoly, but one of us did not know the rules, we're not given the rules, and the rest of us said, oh, just roll the dice and land on properties. Ideally, buddy, hey, land on mine. You want to visit my hotel. How's that person who doesn't know the rules, how are they going to end up in playing that game? They're going to get whooped, aren't they? So now think about it. Millions of workers are being ushered into the stock market not knowing the rules. And how assumptive to believe that millions of Americans want to be in the stock market. Now, granted, many of them do. But at the same token, there are many who do not. They want safety. Well, just choose this pie over here. See this blue pie wedge? Yeah. Yeah, that represents the conservative model. Folks are not being educated. They're not getting advice. And the repercussions are huge losses. As Time Magazine, has certainly interviewed many people and shown their stories of having had a $500,000 and now have half of that, or they had $80,000 and now they only have $12,000. All kinds of stories like that. It does not mean that everyone fails in their 401k. There's many people that just thrive on it. But here's another issue. A company goes out and selects a broker dealer, a brokerage firm to manage the 401k. This costs money. It costs a lot of money to start a 401k. So of course, the more participants, the more the costs are spread out. And so they want more and more participants. I was a guilty party, folks, in the 80s. I guess they saw quality in me and said, you seem to be a good pitch man. Get everyone on board with this. So it fell on me to promote the 401ks in the 80s. Okay, I didn't know better. But there's a reason why they promote it, and they give you the glossy brochures showing silver-haired retirees running on the beach. They want you in. Now, when they partner with a company, whoever it may be, there's many big players. Another problem is a limited selection. Sometimes it's as low as, here are your six choices. You can have your money in this, this, or this, or any combination. Sometimes there's 12. Sometimes there's 100. How do you choose? It's tough. You don't get advice. And having a limited selection would be the equivalent of going to work for a company that says, okay, you can buy any house as long as it's one of these 12. We've got this one on the east side. We've got this two-story here on the west side and over here and then this neighborhood, and you only have 12 choices. Wait a second. We're in a free country, and if you were to buy a house, wouldn't you rather choose from hundreds or choose your neighborhood, choose your street, versus being told you can do this or this or this? And so there's a risk in having limited choices in your 401ks, which brings on a lot of losses. Thought it was pretty interesting, folks. And again, if you've heard us in the past, you've heard me give valid warnings about the 401ks and alternatives. And we have copies of those past shows on CDs. But if you're interested, go out there and get a copy of this week's Time Magazine, Why It's Time to Retire the 401k. And this edition of Conservative Money Talk has been brought to you by Marcus Boulder Construction and Inspector Catchett. Inspector Catchett, we catch the problems while others are still looking around. They can be contacted at 948-3375. Marcus Boulder Construction, call for 5% off the work that you have them do. Contractors, Marcus Boulder Construction, 305-8425. Give them a call. We've covered a lot. And next week we should have the voice of Troy Barilow doing anything he can to get me to lose it and to bust up here on Conservative Money Talk. Next week, please think about who you have observed or noticed being an economic angel, someone who just voluntarily went above and beyond what we would expect and was a help or a blessing to someone. We'll give you the number again next week. Please think about that person. Nominate them. If they are chosen, we're going to send them out to dinner at Outback Steakhouse just to be a little help or a blessing to them. This is Conservative Money Talk. We can be contacted at www.timrosen.tv. Tim Rosen with an S, ROSEN.TV. I encourage you to visit that site. Take a few minutes and look at a video or two. They are not commercials. They are educational segments. We can also be reached here locally. We are live and local. Palmdale offices at 273-3400. Conservative Money Talk. We will look forward to talking with you next Saturday. Thank you. Have a great weekend and God bless.
The following was a sponsored program. HIDESA Broadcasting is not responsible for the views or claims expressed in the previous program.
Serving the Antelope Valley for over 50 years, this is News Talk 1380, KOSS Lancaster, a High Desert Broadcasting Company station.